Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery.
Road of Life, the dynamic story of Dr. Jim Brent, brought to you by the makers of New Chipso, the faster sudsing soap for easy wash day.
Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery.
Let me tell you about something that's sensationally new. A wash day soap that in a recent dramatic speed test beat 8 of the most popular wash day soaps in America and beat them to a frazzle.
What's its name?
Here's its name, Chipso. It's the new, faster sudsing Chipso. It comes in the same familiar package, but what a difference in the soap.
Oh, I know Chipso. It's a swell soap. I use it all the time.
Sorry, but you've probably never used this Chipso. This new Chipso has just been announced after tests that prove things that hundreds of women could hardly believe. Because new Chipso has almost incredible speed. Listen, in one series of tests, we put new Chipso up against 8 of America's most popular wash day soaps. Hear that? 8 of America's leading wash day soaps. Right then and there, new faster sudsing Chipso proved that it dissolves up to 66% faster, that it actually makes suds up to 44% faster. In another test, Chipso proved that it had terrific dirt-getting power. In still another test, Chipso proved that because it wasn't loaded with harsh chemicals or alkalis, that it was safe for colored washables. Try the wash day sensation of 1939, the new faster sudsing Chipso. Find out for yourself that no other wash day soap beats new Chipso in safety and power and gives it split-second speed. Now, your dealer now has the new faster sudsing Chipso, so you can get new Chipso in the same familiar package today. Now, Road of Life. Today marks the opening of the sensational trial of the people of the state of Illinois versus John McEwen, an 11-year-old boy against whom the grand jury returned an indictment for murder as the first count, manslaughter as the second. A momentous day for the impressionable youngster upon whom it will leave an indelible impression for the rest of his journey along the road of life. The courtroom is filled to capacity with thrill-seeking public. Every onlooker eager for a glimpse of the boy whom they've been discussing and reading about for over a week. The boy whom the newspapers have branded as a criminal. The jury has been selected. 12 men and women who are to hand down a decision after hearing the state's attorney tear the defendant's reputation to shreds. After hearing the human appeal of Mr. Gregory, his counsel, a plea for leniency. And now as we enter the courtroom, we see Butch, bewildered, pathetic, sitting with Mr. Gregory. Judge Gray is about to address the clerk. And as we listen in, we hear...
Swear the jury, Mr. Clerk.
Kindly rise and raise your right hand. You and each of you do solemnly swear by the ever-living God that you will well and truly try the issues joined herein and a true verdict render according to the law and evidence.
We do. We do.
All right, Mr. State's Attorney.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. At this time, I would like to offer you my congratulations for having been selected to hear this, which may prove to be a very interesting and unusual case. After having been questioned by myself and the counsel for the defense, We feel that you men and women are of the type who are qualified to hear and judge this cause, which is now going to trial before you. Yours is an important duty, it is obvious. A young boy is on trial before you, and you are to determine fairly and impartially, from the evidence which is given from the witness stand, the guilt or innocence of the defendant. Now, when you took the jury box, you were not expected to leave all your life's experiences outside the courtroom. You were expected to use the same good sense and judgment that you use in all those experiences. Listen carefully to all the evidence, and based on those experiences and the knowledge which you obtain from them during your lifetime, you will be able to decide whether or not this boy is guilty of the crime with which he has been charged. At this time, I feel it is my duty to warn you that merely because this boy is but 11 years of age, you are not to consider that fact or let it govern your decision. After you've heard all the evidence, the court will instruct you that any infant over 10 years of age may be found guilty of any crime or misdemeanor if the evidence so warrants. I should also at this time like to warn you that the fact that a child is on trial should not affect or arouse your sympathy should the evidence indicate that he is guilty. The defense may, and probably will, no doubt, attempt to play upon your sympathies and to win...
If the court please. I'm going to object to the state's attorneys trying to influence the jury with whatever the case and the defense might be at this time.
The objection is sustained.
Thank you.
Mr. State's Attorney, kindly confine yourself to outlining the case to the jury and remain within the province of an opening statement.
I am sorry, Your Honor. I meant no offense. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the question to be weighed is one that must be decided upon consideration of strict right only. If a crime recognized as such by our statute has been committed, if that crime be fixed upon the prisoner at the bar, then it is immaterial what his age is, and what ulterior consideration might prompt you to wish that this cup might pass from his lips. Your sworn duty, your obligation as citizens concerned in the preservation of the social order as friends of the law and interested in its preservation, all speak with one voice. And that voice is awfully distinct. Do your duty, and let the consequences fall upon those who have recklessly, brutally, and criminally violated the most fundamental laws of society. Who has steeped his hands in the blood of his fellow being, and who denies doing so, is a wicked homicide.
Your Honor, I don't know why the state's attorney insists on making his speech at this time. I believe that he should be warned to confine himself to the opening statement, which Your Honor permitted him to make at this time.
Mr. State's Attorney, proceed with your outline.
Very well, Your Honor. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the prosecution of John McEwen, the defendant, for the crime of murder and the crime of manslaughter. This accusation against the prisoner we expect to sustain by the following evidence. That on the 24th day of August last, John McEwen armed himself with a loaded pistol and with the intent to kill, did fire that pistol at one Margaret Allen, striking her in the right upper chest, and that as a result of that gunshot wound, Margaret Allen died. We intend to show that earlier in the day, this defendant had an argument with Margaret Allen. We intend to show that he sulked around that entire day. That as day grew to an end, the passion to take the life of Margaret Allen grew within the mind and breast of this defendant. And that on the date aforementioned, he turned upon the deceased and inflicted wounds from which Miss Allen died on the fourth day. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the simplest possible statement of the case. I've avoided the mention of circumstances which will necessarily appear in evidence. If we shall prove these facts by the testimony we shall bring forward, we will have made out our case. And your duty will be to award that crime the penalties prescribed by law.
Order! Order in the court!
Surgery calling Dr. Brent. Surgery calling Dr. Brent. Surgery calling Dr. Brent.
And so we leave the courtroom of Judge Gray as the state's attorney finishes his opening statement, which has been of little or no significance to the young boy who sits alternately staring at him, then at his three friends in the front row, Jim, Grandpa, and Dr. Thompson, whose serious expressions give way to reassuring looks as they feel Butch's eyes turn in their direction. What will Mr. Gregory have to say when he addresses the court and jury? Be sure to listen tomorrow. Here's some startling news. News about the new, faster sudsing chipsaw introduced for the first time this week and now at your dealers. News of economy. Ounce for ounce, you need 26% less of the new, faster sudsing chipsaw in your tub, washer, or dishpan than the average of 8 of America's most popular wash day soaps. News of speed and power. When we compared the new, faster sudsing chipsaw against 8 of America's most popular wash day soaps, it proved that it dissolved up to 66% faster and makes suds up to 44% faster. With the new Faster Sudsing Chipsaw, your white wash will be brilliantly white and you'll still feel fresh and ready for a day's bond. For new Faster Sudsing Chipsaw combines dirt-getting power, real power, with all its speed. And here's the biggest news of all. If you don't agree that new Faster Sudsing Chipsaw gives you everything we've promised, return the unused portion to your dealer and he'll refund your money. Get an economical package of the new Faster Sudsing Chipsaw in the same familiar package today. Mr. Gregory say when he addresses the jury? Is there any way that the attorney can possibly prove to the court that a third person was present at the time of the fatal shooting of Margaret Allen? Be sure to tune in again at this same time tomorrow. Listen to Road of Life. Attention, please, for an important announcement of a change in time for Road of Life. If your community has not been observing daylight saving time, Road of Life will come to you 1 hour later, beginning next Monday, September 25th. However, if your community has been observing daylight saving time, Road of Life will come to you at the same time as today. This is Stuart Metz, speaking for the makers of Chipsaw, and wishing you good afternoon.
You want long wear from silk stockings, don't you? Well, the makers of famous hole-proof stockings say, wash every night in ivory flakes. Try this for extra wear from every pair. Wash your stockings every night in pure ivory flakes.